In Matthew chapter 8, as we pointed out earlier this week, the Septuagint version narrows the options of translation for the ambiguous words in Isaiah 53, the prophecy concerning the work of Christ and atonement. The Hebrew is a small vocabulary language allowing alternates to interpret or translate individual words. The context has to give you the meaning. In Isaiah 53, the scripture does not say that he bore our infirmities or our sicknesses. What does it say in Isaiah 53? Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Matthew 8:17 quotes Isaiah saying, it's too hot in here, Mike, and that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, when Matthew quotes the Old Testament, when Jesus quotes the Old Testament, when Paul quotes the Old Testament, when all the epistle writers quote the Old Testament, when the apostles quote the Old Testament, they were quoting from the Septuagint version, a translation of the Old Testament by 70 scholars in Egypt prior to the coming of our Lord into Greek. Greek's a precise language. And this quotation in the New Testament limits the options of interpretation, the Old Testament. The Greek makes it clear, without ambiguous alternates, that griefs and sorrows should have been translated infirmities and sicknesses. The point is made even more clear in the context of the whole chapter. The chapter opens, when he came down or was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. An incurable disease in that day. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Immediately, the next scenario, when Jesus was entered, fifth verse, into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy. Leprosy first, then palsy. And he healed the one sick of palsy and commended the centurion for his great faith. Jesus didn't even have to be present. But the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Simply, faith in his word produced the healing. 14th verse is the next scene. When Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. Leprosy, palsy, now fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. The fourth scenario expands it to too many examples to name them all. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Leprosy, palsy, fever, and all that were sick that it might be fulfilled, the next verse says, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Hardly anything in God's book more clear than that. You're not to spiritualize the words. Physical sickness is precisely in focus. Palsy, leprosy, palsy, fever, and all that were sick. And their healing by Christ's word, a fulfillment of what Isaiah the prophet said when he said himself took our infirmities and our sicknesses. Now the Isaiah context, 53rd chapter, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Surely he hath borne our griefs, now we know that's sicknesses, and carried our sorrows, now we know that's infirmities, and not some kind of spiritual or psychosomatic disease, leprosy, an incurable one, as certain in its outcome as AIDS today, palsy, fever, and all that were sick, a myriad number. That's what Isaiah prophesied would happen in the atoning work of Christ. Not only our sins to be borne, but our sicknesses. Now, the traditional church for years has had no difficulty believing that in his mediator role, as the book of Hebrews teaches, not only did Jesus die for sinners, he died for sin. He took our sins himself, carried them to the tree, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Galatians 3 says, as many as are under the law are under the curse of the law, that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, that we might pass out from underneath it. All our sins, every single one of them, past, present, and future, laid on him. Thus, logic notwithstanding, which says the same thing cannot be something else at the same time, the same thing is something else. Your sin, as you're committing it, also was laid on him. Every sin had a double happening thus. As God views it, put on him. And he carried him away. Same truth. Same verse. Same prophecy of the work of Christ. Has every sickness having a double happening. Laid on him. Such sicknesses as leprosy. I repeat, as bad as AIDS in that day. Palsy. Fever. Laid on him. And the healing of leprosy, palsy, fever, and all that were sick fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah, himself bore our sicknesses and our infirmities. And the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, as I said the other night, the verb has the meaning, he lifted them off of and carried them away. That's why, as we go to the table of the Lord, every time I point out there's bread as well as the wine. Two things happened. Himself bore our iniquities, and our transgressions were laid upon him. Himself bore our sicknesses, and our infirmities were laid upon him. You get them both the same way. And as I've taught night after night, there's to be no guilt in front of this table or in the presence of these elements. Paul did not warn people about partaking unworthy. He said, don't partake unworthily. An adverb which modifies the manner of partaking. You partake unworthily when you partake not discerning the Lord's body. Thus, you partake unworthily if you do not discern what really happened at Calvary. You partake unworthily if you discern only that sins were carried away. You certainly partake unworthily if you start looking at yourself to decide if you're worthy. We're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. But if you cross that threshold and recognize we're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb, and all of us stand equal before this table, undeserving, but for Christ's sake, we receive the gift of God's covering and God's forgiveness and God's grace, and that our sins, both the known and the unknown, were laid on Him, both the past and the future and the present laid on Him. Even if you cross to that, you're still partaking unworthily if you don't discern the Lord's body in recognition that also the Lord laid on Him our sicknesses and our infirmities, and He carried away not only the sins and transgressions, the sicknesses and the infirmities. You partake worthily when you discern what was provided at Calvary in the outpouring of God's love and provisions for us. Take this bread and understand that if only sin was involved at the table of the Lord, all you need is the cup which symbolizes the outpoured blood, which Leviticus says contains the soul or the life of the soul. And for sin comes death, but one worth enough to stand in for all of us. His blood was poured out. That's what we remember when we take the cup. Bread is there because there's another benefit. And all across this land, I keep believing some night, through no miracle power that I have, but because of what was already done when He sat down at the right hand of the Father to bear intercession for us. Himself bore our sicknesses and our infirmities. And when faith's eye can discern that that rich provision of grace to heal was also provided at Calvary, then you can look back as Peter did in his epistle and say, with His stripes ye were healed. And you can personalize it. And I ask you to do it as we take the bread. And look back to a past and finished event. With His stripes I was healed, as we take the bread. As I said, one of these nights across this land, people are going to discern the provision of God's grace, and healing for Christ's sake will come to your home and to every sick one that looks with the eye of faith and discerns the provision of God's health provided at Calvary. The cup symbolizes, as already said, the blood. Leviticus 17:11 says the life of the soul resides in the blood. When blood poured out, life poured out, death resulted. One worth enough to God to stand in for all of us poured out His blood and bore the darkness of God's wrath for our sins, that we might live and stand in the light of God's presence forever. Wherever you are, you're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. None of us are worthy. We partake worthily because we discern the adequacy and the worth of His life poured out in our stead. Lift this cup in amazement at the grace of God that provides the covering for us all, as you say, thank you, Lord, for your grace, and lift the cup with me now. I always want you to call me right after communion. So get on the telephone as the music plays and let me hear from you now.